Howdy, folks. Reed Lance Rosenthal on the right side. This is the adjunct to the main radio show. This, I believe, what, fifth day? I lost track of time. This fifth day of February, or is it the sixth? Whatever. It's the first Saturday in February. And as usual, because there seems to be like more and more news as this quickening is going on of all sorts of tumultuous events here in the United States, North America, South America, and across the world, I just don't have enough time to get into enough detail on the critical subjects of the week. I just can't do it anymore. Used to be able to do it easily. Not anymore. So, this adjunct is a continuation of where I left off in the main show, which was talking about the real state of this economy, which Barry delights in lying to you about. The Democrats delight, although some of them are waking up and screaming now, delight in lying to you about. Hillary and Bernie Sanders scream about. After saying that Barry has done a great job. He's done a great job on the economy. And then they scream about it. Here's some behind-the-scenes stats, which I think will really put our economy in perspective for you. Because what you're seeing and what you're feeling and what you're hearing is really the truth. Things ain't very good. And what's really scary is that America right now is probably doing better than almost anyone in the world. So if it's not very good here, you can imagine what's going on in the rest of the world. Imploding, folks. I can give you 20 countries right now which are on the brink. A quarter of them in Europe, some of them in South America, some in Asia, some in Africa. I mean, like, almost underwater. Like, no longer nation states. Like, perfect little pockets for ISIS to further spread into. More Islamic jihad coming. I mean, this economic thing has wide-reaching consequences. Never mind to your pocket, your everyday life, your kids, your grandkids. It's huge. So let's take a look at this, shall we? I don't know if you know this, but stocks have been declining for now a year. Right? Everybody's been crowing about the stock market. You can dial this up. Dow Jones Industrial Index, look at the year chart. They've been declining for a year. You know, commodities have just fallen into the tank. Oil and gold and silver and copper and coal. Hell, half the coal producers have gone under in the last year. There's 13 factors that are affecting all this and that are going to continue to affect it. And I will let you, because you know the general news, and of course you know the specific behind the scenes, the real story, the rest of the story, here on the Right Side Radio, I'll let you kind of figure out whether any one of these 13 factors is going to get better, stay the same, disappear, or get worse, or get far worse in the coming year or two. And that will tell you how the current wobbly economy is probably going to do in the next year or two. So here are the threats. Number one, China's slowdown. There's thousands of U.S. companies that need China for their survival. Their stock prices are going down. Their earnings are going down. China is buying far less stuff. China devaluing the yuan, I've talked about that on a number of previous shows, makes exports more from the United States more expensive because the dollar is stronger, meaning exports go down. These companies sell less. They lay off people, who then, of course, are not counted when Barry figures out his public unemployment rate. Quite different than the government rate at the Department of Labor. Oh, my. Threat number two, war. Okay, look, you're familiar with this. We have China and Japan. I talked about it on the main show today. I mean, that is a enmity, and the Philippines are right in there, by the way, and Malaysia's right in there. I mean, there's all sorts of hot spots with China's expansionist attitude in the South China Sea. And by the way, China's cratering economy and Japan's already cratered economy. Then there's Iran and Saudi Arabia. There's Syria and Iraq. There's the war against ISIS. There is all the conflict over in the African nations, where there's been a number of huge, terrible terror attacks. Then there's Afghanistan. Then there's Crimea and Russia. I mean, there's a bunch of hot spots, folks, any one of which could greatly escalate, in my opinion. And then, of course, there's North Korea. I talked about that in the main show. That little country we don't have to worry about, who has launched its satellite and is now about to test an ICBM with their Iranian friends in place, an ICBM that can hit the Great Lakes. Iran's missiles, by the way, would come from the other side. They can hit you guys in New York. Lovely. You're bracketed, folks. Glad I'm in Wyoming. You might want to head for Kansas or Wyoming if I were all of you. Anyway, threat number three, terror. Okay, look. I mean, it's just a question of time. We know we're going to have terror attacks. We've had 36, I believe, under Barry Baby in his 7 years, and those are the ones we know about. We had none under George Bush after 2011. And we know that these guys want to do something big. And we know that they're in the country. And we know that Barry is helping them get in the country. Right? So you tell me, you think there's going to be any terror attacks? Or you think we got that puppy licked? All right. Threat number four to the economy and economic stability. Depressed oil prices. I'm going to talk in detail about that here when I'm done with this 13-point threat assessment. But depressed oil is hovering between 28 and 34 bucks a barrel right now. There's all sorts of divergent opinions whether it's going to go up or going to go down to 20. Some people say $5 a barrel, blah, blah, blah. Let's just put it this way. It's way, way down. And while you may be smiling when you fill up your car at the gas pump, there's a lot of other effects to what's happened to oil, which are not good at all. Geopolitically, in terms of war, Russia is dying, Iran is dying, Saudi Arabia is going broke. And they had a lot of money. And desperate countries do desperate things because they have to get the price of oil up, or they're just gonna be blood in the streets in those countries, which they don't want. Remember, all the ruling people don't want to lose their power, and they'll do whatever they have to do to keep it. We've seen that right here, haven't we? With Barry and Hillary and Benghazi and a whole bunch of other stuff. Count on it. Okay, number six. Plunging commodities. Now think about all those countries, like our neighbor to the north, Canada. Approximately 94% of their economy, give or take a few percent, and their currency value is tied in one way, shape, or form to raw materials, much of it to oil, much of it to other minerals. So the plunging prices in commodities, copper, gold, silver, magnesium, I mean, all the way down the list, have had huge detrimental impacts on many countries, including some of our very closest allies, including our neighbors, Mexico and Canada, and particularly Canada. Poor Canada. Their dollar is down dramatically against the US dollar. You want to buy Canadian real estate? This is a good time, except it's their poor dollar is going to go lower. They've lost 100,000 jobs just in the oil sector up there, the energy sector. This is all, this is a country of only 22, 24, 24-ish million people. 100,000 jobs is a hell of a lot of jobs. It'd be a lot of jobs for the U.S. Think about the havoc it's wrecking in other countries and causing instability. Think about the havoc it's wrecked in the western United States. The coal companies going out of business. Wyoming, which is one of the most fiscally conservative and most solvent states. I mean, they're scrambling here in Wyoming over the budget. Thank God they have billions in reserves. I mean, they got more in reserves than California has in debt, which is really a scary thought. But being fiscally conservative, they don't want to eat into the reserves. They want the budget to balance. And the budget is not going to balance this year. And lots of people have lost their jobs. I have friends out here. Some in the trucking business. I mean, those trucks aren't rolling. There's no business. I've talked to three or four people in the last 3 weeks who are making very good money in one way, shape, or form connected to energy, who have been laid off in the last month. And when I'm at the ranch, I don't talk to a lot of people, unlike when I'm on a book tour and I talk to thousands. I mean, you can feel it, you can sense it, you can smell it, you can see it. It's not la-la land, it's happening. Threat number 7, consumer price deflation. That's right, prices are falling. You may like that for now, but you won't like its end result. And it's being caused by the overhang in debt. We've talked about that. Go to the search bar, dial in unfunded liabilities, dial in national debt. Listen to those shows. Threat number 8, the banks. Once again, Obama unleashes terror on our economy. Part of it is from Dodd-Frank and some of the provisions that are kicking in. Part of it is from ever more increasing regulations, which, by the way, are really hurting community banks and small regional banks, the banks on Main Street, the guys whose names you know, where you can go get a loan. You think you're going to get the time of day from Chase Manhattan? Huh? Or U.S. or any of the big banks? Really? Come on. And by the way, they'll be the first to crater. So, anyway, the burdens there are increasing costs and decreasing loans. So, do you think regulation is going to decrease in the next year or two? Particularly maybe with negative interest rates coming. Negative interest rates, folks, which a number of countries in Europe already have and Japan just instituted, are about the only weapon that the Federal Reserve has left in the United States to fight deflation, which we're in. We've just been talking about it. And to hopefully rev up this economy, which it hasn't worked anywhere else. I don't know why it would work here. But I want you to understand something. Negative interest rates means, yes, you'll pay far less for loans. Some of you who are thinking about refinancing, I'm not telling you not to, but I suggest you do some research and then make a decision. But you will actually pay the bank to have a savings account. That's right. I'm not. My producers look at me like I'm crazy. And thank you, by the way, for staying for the adjunct. I appreciate it. And so do our listeners. If you have a savings account, you will pay the bank to keep your money. That's what negative interest rates are, guys, ladies and gentlemen. Okay. Number 9, the fall of the European Union. You know, they got the currency wars going over there. Some are in negative interest rates and others are not. You have Britain voting on leaving the European Union, in which case Ireland would probably leave Britain. Or Scotland, excuse me, would probably leave Britain. You have countries closing borders. The open borders between all the countries over there was kind of one of the bastions of the European Union. You have this entire Muslim refugee thing, which Barack Obama created on purpose by his acts and lack of acts and lies in the Middle East, where he single-handedly by not doing the right thing, by not standing up for human rights, by not honoring his own red lines, which he never intended to honor anyway, by incredibly, I won't say bad decisions because they were purposeful, but by our viewpoint, incredibly bad decisions like Libya, thank you Hillary Clinton, and Syria, thank you Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama, and Iraq, thank you Barack Obama, and Afghanistan, thank you Barack Obama, and Iran, thank you Hillary and Barack Obama, and John Kerry, pathetic. That's what's created this refugee mess. That's what's killed 300, that we know about, 300,000 people. That's what created this genocide, Yazidis and Christians, which he doesn't talk about when he talks about face and being kind and respectful to Muslims at the Muslim mosque, which is a front for the Muslim Brotherhood, that honor, that whose imam extolled his parishioners, the women, of course, sitting in the back, a fatwa in 2004 to kill Americans. That, you know, our president is speaking at that mosque. Wow. Okay. This refugee crisis in Europe is going to have huge ramifications. Do you think it's going to get better? And do you think that its economic repercussions are over? Threat number 10, disintegration of the UK. I talked a little bit about it in number 9. So if Britain leaves to votes to leave the EU, we're going to see Scotland leaving the UK. You think that's going to help equity markets and prices and economic stability and geopolitical stability and peace around the world? Threat number 11. Now, the Fed says they're going to raise interest rates, but lately they've kind of backed off of that because this wobbly economy, their lousy little 0.25% rise in interest rates, the first time in 10 years, is one of the things that precipitated this, 8-9% drop in the stock market over the last month. Just 0.25%, folks. 0.25%. That is 25 cents. If you borrowed $100, your interest would be 25 cents. That's how ridiculous it is. Just that little bit rocked everything back on its heels. So the Fed's plan to either go to negative interest rates, go the other way, or the Fed's plan to raise interest rates. Do you think the Fed's just going to sit there, or do you think they're going to make more mistakes? What do you think? Threat number 12. The bond market bubble. And I'm going to talk more about this here in just a moment so you understand it. But, you know, corporate debt, which is part of that $65 trillion I've talked about in a number of shows that nobody talks about, $65 trillion in personal consumer and corporate debt here in the United States, in addition to the $1 to $200 trillion, depending on who you talk to, unfunded liabilities and the $20 trillion primary national debt, corporations finance their activities through bonds. The really good bonds are AAA bonds. The not so good bonds are C bonds, etc. And the lousy bonds are called junk bonds. Originally, the vision of a guy by the name of Michael Milken, brilliant guy, and a nice guy, at the head of an investment firm by the name of Drexel Burnham Lambert, back in the 80s. And it became a huge financing instrument. And by the way, to tie this all in for you, and I'm going to do this at the end of this adjunct show, guess where the United States energy industry gets all its money, all those wildcatters out there betting their life, betting the ranch, on hitting a hole. That's right, junk bonds. So as these industries that junk bonds and bonds have financed as they crater, what do you think is going to happen to the bond market? And you know, if bonds crater, everything craters. Okay? And then the strengthening of the U.S. dollar. This is one that people don't think about a lot. But as there's more and more chaos in the rest of the world, and I've talked about some of it here in the 13 danger signs, or the 13 questions I've asked you, do you think these are going to get better, worse, or stay the same, which will tell you what's going to happen with our economy and perhaps our military, who knows, and certainly your financial security and the safety of your family? You can answer those questions for yourself. You're smart folks. That's why you listen to this show. The strengthening of the U.S. dollar, I mean, it looks good on paper and you go, rah, rah, the United States has a strong dollar. It's not good. The stronger the dollar, the more difficult it is for us to export stuff. The higher our imbalance in trade and the less jobs we have and the lower our GDP. We don't want a weak dollar. We want a nice, stable currency that's in line, give or take, with the fluctuations normal to the market with other currencies in the world. But since we are kind of the last man standing, even though we're on wobbly legs, and since there's wars and all sorts of crap happening everywhere, there's all sorts of monies, currencies, frightened capital headed to the United States, which is strengthening the dollar and ironically undermining our economy and many of our companies. You think that's going to get better? Do you think the world's going to stabilize and that scared cash outflow is going to reverse? By the way, the last time you had these same sets of danger factors, but not to this extreme, particularly the geopolitical strife, was around 2000. Okay, that's when the tech wreck occurred. We had that big crash, big recession. 86% of the value came off average stocks. Thousands of companies went out of business. And then in 2008, we had kind of these same 13, once again, not to this extreme, factors at play. And then, you know what happened with interest rates and houses and mortgages and the economy and all that stuff and employment. You know, the stock index plunged 58%, which is more than half of America's invested wealth. So that's recent historical context for you. Now, let's get into some details here. Well, this adjunct's going to be longer than I thought, too. We're at 23 minutes and 15 seconds right now. But I'm going to cover this because it's important. I will leave one thing, which is, if you can believe it or not, some economists watch how many skyscrapers have been built and use that as a predicator of what's going to happen in the future. The more that are built, the worse the economy is going to be in the immediate future. I'll save that for next week. That's some interesting stuff. Standard & Poor's, you know, Moody and Standard & Poor's, the two big rating agencies. So they went even further than Moody's and said they were taking rating actions on 20 investment grade, in other words, really big, the top of the line energy companies. And they were going to downgrade at least 10 of the 20. Now listen to this. The downgrades in financial solvency, if you will, in ability to repay debt, in stability, includes Chevron, Apache, Continental Resource, Devon Energy, Hess, and Marathon Oil Company. Listen, it was Chevron's first S&P debt rating cut, Standard & Poor's S&P, since 1987. Listen to this. S&P also put ExxonMobil, right? Do you know how big they are, folks? This is like one of the world dominator stocks. And one of only three remaining AAA rated companies in the U.S. today. There's only three. That's ExxonMobil, Microsoft, and Johnson & Johnson, who's moving to Ireland. Just three. And one of them, ExxonMobil, is about to be downgraded. The big French oil company, Total, is also on a credit watch with, quote, a credit watch with negative implications. So if Exxon gets actually downgraded and goes off of watch, this will give you an idea what's going on now globally in the economy with energy, the markets, despite the lies the media tells you, the president tells you, etc. It'll be the first downgrade, for ExxonMobil in 86 years. The last time it was downgraded was 1930. I think we all know what happened in 1929, 1930, right? The Great Depression. All right. So, I mean, you know, these are all little things that absolutely nobody's telling you, but you connect, start connecting these dots, and, you know, it is a not a good line, shall we say. And then we have the banking sector, right? We've talked about the energy sector, junk bonds, etc. Deutsche Bank, huge international bank, just announced a $7.3 billion annual loss, which is its first loss since 2008. Credit Suisse, I happen to be familiar with them. They're a terrible company. I can guarantee you from firsthand experience, they are absolutely beyond belief. It's amazing they're in existence at all. But Credit Suisse is a huge international bank. And it announced a $6 billion loss for the quarter. Not for the year, for the quarter. $6 billion. That's staggering loss for a bank in a year. Never mind in a quarter. And its shares, the value of its stock, fell to their lowest level since 1991. Other bank stocks, United States bank stocks, I've told you, stay away from these big banks. I'm going to throw out that warning again. I'm not an investment advisor. I'm not telling you to put your money in a mattress or anything like that. But I'm telling you, you deal with Chase Manhattan, Wells Fargo, you know, J.P. Morgan Chase, Bank of America, you are asking for trouble, folks. You are asking for trouble. Those stocks, by the way, are down about 15% just in the last 30 days. That's an unbelievable drop. And we don't have earnings on them yet. But I can guarantee you that it's not good, because if you take all the banks and financial companies, they lost $360 billion in market value in just January, the month just ended. And that, by the way, is the second largest single month loss since 1990. Pretty amazing. And by the way, that sector, you know, that kind of serves as a bellwether. It's one of the canaries in the coal mine. You know, no metaphor intended after talking about energy companies. You know, if there's when the economy is contracting, when things are getting tough, the demand for loans falls, borrowers can't pay loans back, people stop spending, including spending frivolously, which is why some of those other things I talked about at the beginning of the adjunct here, those indexes are going down. So when banks underperform what's going on, that's kind of a telltale sign of what's to come. So, anyway. By the way, I was just handed something by my producer, who's giving me a look like, okay, this adjunct was supposed to be just short, and it's like dragging into like the length of a full-blown show. This could have been a full-blown show, but it's stuff you need to know now, you know? I mean, a week could make a difference. And she handed me some more information on the Islamic Society of Baltimore, the mosque that our Presidente Sahib, whatever, spoke at. I'm not going to go into it this one, but I'll tell you what, coming up on next week's show, I'll give you some more goodies on this mosque when we follow the money of Damas, right? Including from the United States government to grants to the mosque and then out to the Muslim Brotherhood and terrorist organizations. That's mosque in this country, folks, and that is this United States government who's keeping us safe because they care about us. This is Reed Lance Rosenthal on the right side with the adjunct to the AM radio show for this first Saturday in February, 2016. I hope I gave you some tidbits, and I'm sure it's some information you have not heard before. And, you know, you are smart folks. Digest it, come up with conclusions, and act on them. And by the way, I've gotten several letters about what people can do. And I'm going to have a show here in the next few months in advance of the election, far enough in advance of the election so you can actually do something that's meaningful. But I'll tell you what, right now, if you're not a member of the NRA, join it. And there's several other pro Second Amendment groups which are terrific too. Join them for the $25 or $35. How important are your guns to you? How important is the Second Amendment in the Constitution? Write a check. Join the NRA and the other outfits. Number two, you should be calling and writing your congressmen and your senators. Calls are good. You can vent. The staff will listen. And trust me, the senators hear about it. You can also fax them. And you should make it a point to spend an hour every month sending them emails, sending them a fax, or picking up the phone and calling so they hear from you. Number three, you should find out how you can get involved in the upcoming elections. You can be a poll watcher to make sure that what is certain to be rampant voter fraud is kept to a minimum. You can be an election volunteer and help out the election staff. But get involved. Number four, take the steps you need to take to keep you and your family safe no matter what. The basics of life, the basics of defense, the basics of some financial fallback. You owe it to your country, you owe it to your family, you owe it to yourself. I'll have more in the future, but those are some things for you that you can do right now, today. This is Reed Lance Rosenthal on the Right Side Radio. We'll talk to you next week, and thanks for listening to The Adjunct.